and the cliff edge will come. For some reason, he knows how steep those cliffs are and how far he would fall. The rain is freezing, and what remains of his clothing sticks to his body. He staggers. He slips. Before long, the walls are behind him, and the rocks are becoming slippery with foam. He can hear the crash of surf, and he sees clouds racing. It will not take long. He will hardly feel it. But then there is a shape in the mist, a pillar of stone that slides out of the fog.
"Captain Dantine," says the pillar.
He concentrates hard. The pillar becomes larger and more defined, swelling into the colossal shape of a monster. It moves, and he sees arms and legs. There are fat little horrors that squat all over it, and books hanging from chains about its neck. A ragged cowl is sodden in the downpour.
"Captain Dantine," the monster says again, "stay where you are."
The thing comes closer. He does as he is told, of course. He waits, panting softly, the rainwater coursing over what remains of his body. From somewhere, he pulls out a name. Philemon. The corpse counter. The monster looks in bad shape, wounded perhaps, or merely bedraggled. Amid all the flotsam and junk that festoons his body, there are bags hanging at his belt, and some are damp with something thicker than water.
"You are hard to find," says Philemon, irritably. "I thought we might have lost you already. By the god, look at you."
He can barely understand the words. Everything is grey. His only motivation, to the extent that he still has one, is to keep walking, and maybe find that drop into oblivion. Philemon reaches for his belt and pulls out a pouch, one that looks vaguely familiar.
"Vaux is not wholly pleased with me," he says. "I should have trusted him a little more," he thinks. "Not taken so much initiative. And so I have a number of penances to perform, and one of them, it seems, is you."
The monster comes closer, and he can feel rotten breath on his face. That stirs a memory. He reaches up to his chest, and a faint throb can be detected there again.
"Vaux is grateful to you," Philemon says. "Vaux thinks it would be a waste to let you go. He wants to find a way to keep you."
He looks at the bag. Dimly, he is horrified by it.
"I don't know what we'll do exactly, given how far you've dropped, but something might be worked out," Philemon says. "There are ways and there are means. Restorative magics. Come with me now."
He hesitates. He could keep going, head into that grey obliteration.
It would be the end of all of it.
His fingers are shaking. It is so, so cold. He looks up at the monster. It is waiting for him.
Then, inevitably, his head drops. He nods.
He begins to turn back towards the ruined city. The monster falls in alongside him.
"Don't look so miserable," it says. "You've been chosen for some reason. Vaux will find a way for you to serve."
He takes no pleasure in that. He takes no pleasure in anything. As he stumbles, he looks at the bag swinging in the monster's clenched claw. He watches it sway and feels that he hates it. But there's nothing to be done. No resistance. He keeps walking and knows the dark ship is next. They will not let him go. He puts one foot before the other, then the next. An automatic movement.
Damn them. They will not let him go.
It takes a long time for Slurt to reemerge. He has been travelling far, arranging for more deployments of the contagions. Tankers have been dropped from Solace, and these are now travelling out across the highlands, escorted by squads of Unbroken. There are cities waiting, teeming still with life and possibility. Most of them are already under assault from their indigenous phage creatures, but the process can always be given a helping hand. It takes a while, even for someone of Slurt's talents, to infect an entire world. He will need to be patient. Still, there is much to be satisfied with. The toxins he released into the Citadel were effective, just as they needed to be. They have a new army now, enough to replenish the losses they took fighting the Weeping Veil and the White Consuls. Many Unbroken were slain, it is true, and those will take a long time to replace. But such is war. The God will provide, in some form or other. Slurt returns from the western road, heading back towards the smouldering citadel. Already dark green algae are beginning to blotch on the bare rock, fed by the rain that has become a constant stream. A world that was once hard-edged and driven is now softening, filling up, mouldering and warming. He can hear buzzing and smell the sweetening of the rotting flesh as the pace of decay quickens. The ruins of Vigilia Carceris rise up in front of him, a sodden mass of roofless towers. Its bulk is still considerable, but its symmetry has gone. It stinks already, and Slurt can see the pestilences cradling within it. Given a little time, it will blossom into its full potential. Perhaps Vorx will make it a fortress of his own, a place within which to gather strength. Or perhaps they will leave soon, taking the victory and striking out into the deep void. Just as he thinks of the Siege Master, Slurt sees him approaching, limping down the old road from the shattered gates. He salutes and walks towards him. In the background, an orbital lifter is coming down, churning its way through the rain, bringing more delights for the conversion of this world.
"A victory!" says Slurt.
Vorx comes to a halt, shrugs, but does not disagree.
"How goes the work? There are millions here. We could do something with this place."
He looks at the Siege Master carefully.
"If you wanted to."
Vorx says nothing. He seems morose.
"A shame," says Slurt. "What happened to Clado? We'll need to think about what we do for a surgeon now."
Vorx nods.
"A great shame. Something will turn up." "And the ship?"
Slurt feels like he is pressing now.
"What happened?"
Vorx sighs. It rumbles out from his colossal chest, and the numerals on the battle plate seem to shift and align in the poor light.
"A mystery, putrefier. Some quirk of the warp, triggered by what we did over Agrippina, I judge. I will ask Philemon to continue his investigation."
"He has not uncovered much so far."
"No, he has not. He did not serve me well."
"But I served you well, did I not, Siege Master?"
Finally, Vorx looks at him.
"You did, Slurt. Your plagues were things of magnificence. I wish you to continue with them. Turn this whole world into a new garden. You can do this for me?"
"With great pleasure, Lord."
Vorx is looking out at the highlands now, watching them drown in the rain. Slurt knows he is imagining what will happen to them. The sloughs, the rot, the pools of stagnant water. It is surprising how fast things can change with a will.
"And after that?"
Slurt ventures, uncertain how far to push things.
"Ultramar, or some other place?"
Vorx thinks for a long time. He looks old now, terribly old, like something dragged up from the base of a primordial mire. This war has been going on for so very long.
"All things are possible now, putrefier,"
he says eventually, starting to walk again, still limping.
"All things are possible."
That was The Lords of Silence by Chris Raitt, read by John Banks. This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2018.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.